This is Zach DeBarian, and thanks for tuning in to the Journey Online podcast. Sitting in with me today is Matt Dawson.
Hey.
There he is.
Hey, man.
And today we're going to do a little bit of a different kind of podcast. Normally we do like a one big giant topic and just kind of keep breaking it down.
Yep.
But as we're heading into the holidays, I thought it would be kind of cool to kind of do a year-end recap of some of the sermon series that we've been going through, namely one called Breathing Room and the one we're currently in called Gratitude. And they tie in so well with some of the thought processes and everything we're doing as we head into the holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, those kind of things. So I thought we could just kind of do a little roundtable back and forth about that. Matt, first, as we jump in, give me just your big picture thought of Breathing Room. Why you thought it was such a necessary series? You know, the topics that we covered were all very, very unique and individual, but as a collective, they really did kind of look forward to where we're headed in a holiday season. So why don't you give us just the big picture on why you thought we needed to kind of go down that path and talk about some of those topics. So I'm going to throw it to you and let you just kind of talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, man. I personally think that all of November, man, just, you know, in October, November, coming from the start, as soon as we started the idea of Breathing Room, I just knew that it was going to be a very powerful couple months in terms of leading us into the holidays, because the Breathing Room and Gratitude are two things that I think everybody wants, right? It is just like deep within us, but it is something we struggle to have. We struggle to find it. One of the things I love about our church is just, you know, we're willing to kind of dive into the mess of what that is in our lives and then kind of work toward an answer, you know, towards a solution, not just because it's a good solution, but because we really feel like God had something to say about it. So, my biggest thing for Breathing Room was really driven around this idea that that it's not only something we wanted, but something we were built for. We were built for this margin in our life. We weren't created to kind of live to the limit, to our limits, and live to the limit all the time. And yet our culture, and I don't blame everything on the culture, but our culture is kind of driven into us this sort of do everything you can possibly do, mm-hmm. And do it now, kind of in our lives. And so that's probably been the overarching thing. And I think the topics that we chose in Breathing Room had a lot to do with the results. Right. The results of no margin in our life has everything to do with the fact that we don't view time well. As a result of that, we live stressed lives. We get really focused on things and our relationships suffer. So when our relationship suffers and our focus on our money gets skewed and our focus on time gets all out of whack, man, we just make bad decisions. I'm just going to be honest. Right. We make really bad decisions. We all struggle. I mean, gosh, struggle with depression, and we struggle with the frustration of what that brings. And, you know, and I just think, again, I go look back and go, hey, man, that's not what God designed us for. That's just not there. I was writing that blog the last week about, Jesus came to bring us life. Yeah. And the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy. And I love that parallel of, like, you know what, if I don't understand the fact that there's something out there, and I don't mean something, you know, broad, I mean something in terms of there's an enemy of my life. There's an enemy of a life that I have, and it wants to steal my joy, steal my time, steal my focus. Mm-hmm. It wants to destroy relationships. It wants to destroy, my ability to do what God wants me to do. And then in seeing that Jesus wants to give us life, not just life, but life to the full. And for me, I look at it and go, okay, we're just not living that. We're not experiencing that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, for you, when we went through it, what was some of your thoughts? I mean, for me, it was centered around this idea of this is not the life we're supposed to live.
Right.
What'd you think?
I'm going back and actually looking at our Twitter feed.
Yeah.
And just getting some awesome stuff off of that. And one of the things that stands out to me, and I remember it from the first week where you were talking about our time. And when you said that about the thief and the enemy coming to steal, kill, and destroy, I think what that does is drive a lot of fear in our lives. And you made a statement in your first week sermon that says fear is a major factor in our busyness in life, the fear of missing out, falling behind, or not mattering. And then you follow that up with this statement: the fear that drives what matters now has the potential to drive us away from what matters most.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was so profound. And why don't you talk a little bit about that on
Yeah, I just think fear, we don't realize how much fear plays such a huge role in our lives and how much it makes, how much it plays in our decision making. And like I said, most people don't think of it as fear. But when you use those words, like, well, I'm afraid I'm going to miss out, or I'm afraid I'm going to disappoint people, or I'm afraid I'm going to, I'm afraid that I'm not going to make it, or I'm going to fall behind. It's like, well, that's fear. Yeah. That is fear. And we know from our conversations, a lot of church, it's like, well, fear is a real lack of trust, right? We're fearful when we don't have anything to trust in. And everything that God did for us was to build trust to, around him. And so again, it goes back to, well, God had something to say about that. God had something to say about, what kind of life would you, Zach, what kind of decisions would you make if you were in complete trust that it was going to be all right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like if fear never crept into you, how would that change your decisions? And that's a huge deal.
Oh, dramatically.
And,
I feel like I do have a lot of fear, but if you ask my wife, she would say that I'm probably the other end, that I don't make decisions based on fear. I don't really think things through that much. I just take steps. But I do see fear.
Well, you're afraid if you think about it, then you'll fail.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, that probably is it. But the statement that you made, the fear of now can keep us from what matters most.
Yeah.
And I thought that was just great.
Hey, what's that word that people talk about all the time, that the tyranny of the urgent will always overshadow? The tyranny of the urgent will always overshadow where we can best invest our time.
Right.
And, dude, we're fathers. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you and I are fathers, and we're just, you're home with the kids. I'm home with the kids. And when we're home with them, it's like, okay, everything is now. Everything is just coded in how I feel right now, what it is right now, what I want to do right now. And it dominates our kids' thoughts. And we have the perspective to look at it and going, dude, if you would just wait, if you just be patient, you have no idea the candy you're going to get later today.
Right.
You have no idea what's going to happen. But they are so consumed. And then I think about how God views us. Mm-hmm. And goes, holy cow. Like, if they could only see what I see in terms of their life, they would not be so consumed with the now. And so, yeah, that's kind of where it comes from for me. I just think about my kids, and God just teaches me stuff.
Yeah. And so the three main areas we talked about in the breathing room were our time, our relationships, and Don did a fantastic job just talking about that. And the family night thing was a great deal on that. That we did together as a church. But then the last one, you talked a little bit about money.
Yeah.
And I want to kind of use that as a segue, because we're coming up on Christmas, and money is a, it plays a part in that. But one of the main kind of bottom lines that we kept saying through the Breathing Room series is that breathing room is defined as the space between our current pace and our limits. And nowhere is that on display more than our finances and our money.
Yep.
And no time during the year is it probably on display more than during the holidays of the current pace that we have and our limits.
Yeah.
And not understanding that there has to be a balance there, that there's, that we need some margin and breathing room there to understand, our current pace and where we are and the limits that we need and should have. So why don't you talk a little bit about how that relates to holidays and those kind of things. And it's a big deal, and I don't know if we can tackle it all right now.
Yeah, we can't. But, when you're saying that, hey, one of my thoughts came out was, I think it's a minority that actually are approaching Christmas with their current pace in mind. Mm. I mean, it's just the way it is. I'm thinking about my house. I'm not trying to tell on me and my wife, but I know that we do our best. We walk into the holidays with a current pace in mind. We walk into where we are, what we can afford to do, what we should do. Mm-hmm. And then something happens in this magical, 5-week period of time where, I'll say it, I do it too, we sort of lose our minds.
Oh yeah.
And there's a lot of things that drive consumerism in all of us. There's a lot of things that drive this time of year that, You know, we don't want to miss out. You know, again, it goes back to fear. Yeah. We don't miss out. We don't want to miss out on the joy of Christmas.
And we don't want our kids to miss out on something.
We don't want to have like a, you know, just a stocking full of stuff. And I mean, I've talked to people who like where they're going to go on vacation to Disney right after this, or we're going to go on a cruise, right? I know people. I mean, right after Christmas, you know, they're like, they're going to do it. And I've seen people like give their gift to the kid and say, well, what we're going to give them is just this. But then like it gets closer and closer, and for some reason, dude, our brains go, well, that can't be all they get, you know? Yeah,
right.
That can't be all they get. I mean, maybe we should get this. And all of a sudden we just, oh my gosh. So I, you know, when you say that, my brain goes, I don't think there's any better time of life in our season financially that we push our limits beyond what they, beyond our current pace to somehow experience a holiday, two holidays that were completely driven around gratitude.
Right.
Two holidays that were supposed to be completely driven around being thankful for what you have and what God's given you, and then being able to give to others, better to give than to receive.
Absolutely.
And I look at it and go, dude, we have messed up. We have totally screwed these holidays into our own view and idea that again, push us, and you talk about financially, push us to our limits, dude. The one thing I said that day that I remember, and this goes into the, you know, I'm going to get anybody else convicted if y'all listen. Here it is. We can raise our standard of living by debt. You know, we can raise the enjoyment of this holiday by spending money we don't have.
Yep.
We can raise our kids' experience this holiday by spending money we don't have. We can do all of that, but we will never raise our quality of life with debt. We can only raise our quality of life with discipline. Mm. And depending on how you want to live your January, February, March next year, stressed out, can't pay the bills, living in just a sea of regret, which most people do. I mean, it's what most people do in the beginning of the year because they didn't make wise choices. They did not, with their discipline, make choices to enjoy the year. I mean, one of the things I enjoy, dude, you remember Advent Conspiracy?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so... You know, we told the church, like, just, you know, buy somebody like a goat in Ethiopia. You know what I'm saying? Like, give them a certificate. Do you remember, like, I don't even remember some of the stories of people really struggling with that.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, they were just like, I can do that, but I'm still going to get them a sweater.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so hard.
You know, it's one of those things that it's hard for us to shift our mind to that aspect. What was one of the money ones that you had in terms of breathing room? What did you think of in terms of why it is that we struggle so much in our finances, you know, with space?
Well, I think, you know, kind of segueing into what I want to talk about next, it comes back to what you touched on this week and as we started the gratitude series, is that we don't have the proper perspective on these holidays, that they're not meant primarily for us, you know, to get things, but it comes back to a position of what you said was entitlement, that we feel like, you know, we've earned this, we deserve this, we've got this one time a year that it's all about me and what I can get, and I get to make my list and make my wishes and my demands.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and we get to unwrap our presents, and you know, so it really does, in my mind, you know, as we were talking about these last 2 weeks that we've been in these series, it does come back to this whole entitlement issue. And I think you nailed it this week when you said entitlement, an attitude of entitlement, truly does contrast and is at war, literally at war, with an attitude that is, at the lack of sounding poetic, an attitude that flows in gratitude.
Yeah.
And that is grateful and appreciates what we do have, not as constantly thinking about what we don't and what we may feel like we deserve and what we should get. So I love that statement that entitlement says that I want it more.
Yeah.
I want it now. I deserve it more.
Yeah.
And it's at war with this, as you said, these holidays should, you know, promote a sense of gratitude, a sense of just awe and thanks for what has been given to you, you know, through Christ already.
You're going to remind me of a quick story.
Go for it.
Remind me of a quick story of when I lost that battle, man. I lost it bad. You know, again, I'm going back to the idea. So, you know, when you become a parent, and you guys, I shared this with Daniel and Chris the other day. When you become a parent, you get a lot of focus on your kids, right? And you get a focus on the kids, and we tend to be a little bit driven by this idea that all of a sudden the kids are getting what they get. And so sometimes you lose a little focus on others, right? So some parents, I'm just saying some parents do. You, kid needs this, kid needs shoes, kid needs a nice coat, you know, kids need this. So one Christmas, no kidding, one Christmas, I did not have a good attitude. And one Christmas, as I say it, my wife, I got it phoned in at Christmas time. All right, I got it phoned in at Christmas, and I was definitely in an attitude of receiving. I was in an entitlement attitude
because well, we get there.
Okay. I'm just saying it was a slow process. We got there, and I remember because my birthday's in March, and I'll never forget. Just experiencing that Christmas and just getting to this place of, you know, gosh, man, I just feel, it's that whole, it just rises up. I deserve more than this. I want, you know, and I'll never forget my wife. She entered this conversation about like, well, what do you want for your birthday? You know, this is getting closer to my birthday now. And then all this kind of comes like a wave over me. And I told her, I said, you know, it doesn't matter. I said, but I want you to lavish me. Those were my words. I said, I want you to show me that I am the most important person in your life. I don't care if the kids go cold. I don't care if they have shoes. I was like, I want you to just lavish me. And then the moment I said it, I realized how wrong I was. It didn't matter. It still caused an argument. But, you know, it was just one of those moments where it was like, I could tell right then that the entitlement had won the war. Entitlement had in my heart won it. And I completely entered that moment of I deserve this. Mm-hmm. I deserve to be lavished. Yeah. Who even says that, right? In their marriage. I want you to lavish me. Anyway, I can just tell you that's, and I don't want to even tell you how many years it was because it's probably too close for me to be comfortable with, but it happened not that long ago. And I just remember just not winning that war and feeling, you know, feeling very convicted by it.
Yeah.
That I just was like, dude, that was so. And then of course, you know, it was my birthday came and went, and I know I didn't enjoy or even get the sense of gratitude walking into that because I had failed so miserably. And so, you know, it's for everybody. You know what I'm saying? We all get there. It's all a choice. It ultimately starts in the heart. And we talked about that Sunday. It starts in the heart and it comes out. And depending on what you're storing up in there, I know for me, I was storing up resentment. I was storing up, you know, why are my kids getting so focused on? I was storing up this whole, you know, what about me? You know, right. I was storing up the what about me, you know, and that was just growing a heart of entitlement. Yeah. And, you know, I've definitely through the church and through things in my life and other things, I mean, God's continued to, you know, Lord, he's been so good to bring me back to so many times of being thankful for what I have. I'm thankful to have a job. I'm thankful to do what I love to do. I'm thankful just to, I mean, I show up at church sometimes and it's not every week, and I'm ashamed of that, but every, you know, I show up at church sometimes overwhelmed by how much I love the church and how much I love being able to be a part of it and how grateful I am to be a part of it. It's like, it's that idea of trying not to take something for granted.
Yeah.
And I know I didn't talk about that Sunday, but, you know, that's a hard thing. How do you not take something for granted? Like, how do we not take our wives for granted?
Absolutely.
How do we not take our kids for granted?
And
I'd like to know how do you handle that? How do you not take your wife for granted? You just go ahead and share a story.
Because she is so much better at everything in life than I am. And I truly mean that. Yeah. So like she.
Oh, you. I told a bad story, and you tell a good one.
I'm just saying, she's like my right eyeball, man. I probably wouldn't be able to walk without her. You know.
That's awesome. That's so good.
My perception in life would be totally skewed were she not
awesome.
In my life and a part of my life. But she would probably tell it a different way.
I'm sure.
You know.
Yeah.
And we're kind of in a unique situation in that, you know, she works more than I do.
Yep.
So I'm at home with the kids a lot more. And so it's just a little bit of a different dynamic there. So she's probably more like you. Like she would probably come home and say, "I want you to lavish me." she probably would
lavish me, Zach.
Yeah,
lavish.
Yes, yeah,
so lavish.
She would be more on that side, you know. And I would be more the one saying, you know, well, we got to do this for the kids, and the kids need this. So it's a little bit of a different dynamic for us.
Hey, let me spin this at you real quick. And then I was thinking about this the other day. This is something I didn't say in the sermon. I think I said it, but then I was having another conversation with David, our teaching pastor, and I said, you know, gratitude is essential, right? Because we teach it as parents. Every parent at some point starts off that way, you know, say please, say thank you. They teach this. We all teach this gratitude oriented start. But it starts off as manners.
Yeah.
right? We started off as the, we start off the behavior hoping that it'll translate to the heart.
Right.
And yet what we read Sunday and what we talk about is that it doesn't rest in the behavior.
Yeah.
It rests in the heart. And I don't know. I mean, I guess that's a part of training that sometimes we need to be in a habit of saying thank you. So that's part of storing it up in our hearts so that, you know, the more I say thank you, the more maybe it's a discipline, the more my heart will continue to realize it is, versus what we talked about Sunday, which is really the idea that it's going to start in your heart. It really is a reflection of it in your heart. But I don't know if both are wrong. I think some of it is a training and some of it is just a default. Some of it should be just a default in terms of, you know, this is happening in my life. And in order to not take people for granted, I automatically have an attitude of gratitude. So there's automatically a thanks and it's verbal. As we talked about Sunday, it's got to come out of your mouth.
Yeah. Well, and for me, you know, when I think about it, just in a spiritual context, it has been hard for me to wrap my mind around the fact that God really doesn't owe me anything.
Yeah.
So the fact that during Christmas time that he came, you know, as a child, that he took on flesh, that he, you know, ultimately paid a price on a cross for my sin. He didn't owe that to me. He didn't, you know. And so when I think about it in those terms, overwhelming sense of gratitude should be the response, but it's not always.
Right.
And so I don't know. In the holiday season, I always try to just come back to that of, you know, I'm not owed anything, you know, from God.
Mm-hmm.
But he gives. He does lavish, you know, to play off the term he threw out earlier. He does lavish his love and his grace and his acceptance and on me, no matter what.
Yeah.
And that to me brings perspective back. I don't always walk with that perspective. I should. I hope I do most of the time. But when it gets lost, it gets lost. And God's quick to remind us in those moments, you know, like you're saying, you know, those moments between Christmas and birthday where we begin to make it about us.
Yeah.
And, you know, God, he'll prod us and remind us, hey, you're not owed anything, but you've been given everything.
Yep.
And such a beautiful thing. And so as we're heading into the second part of gratitude and kind of ramping up toward our Hope Christmas series, it's going to be such a great close of the year. I'm so excited about it. Kind of this week is all about showing. Last week, kind of the big thing was it's rooted in our heart and what we say that displays the gratitude in our hearts. But it's also not just what we say, but it's also what we do and how we show it. Talk a little bit about where we're kind of headed with that and where your mind is. No, without giving away, you know, the big secret of this Sunday's talk.
Right. But I'll do that.
Just maybe a big picture of what it means to show gratitude. Because we talked a lot about what it means to say it and how that should flow from our hearts. And but what does it mean to show it in a practical sense?
You know, we're using the same definition because attitude is a settled way of thinking, and it's reflected by what you say and do, meaning that actions do follow your words, and I think actions. I don't know. You know, I focused a lot more this Sunday as a natural default response in what we say when we're pressed or stressed or, you know, kind of put under the pressure. But this week is much more about what do we do, and when we do, how should it reflect, you know, that attitude. And part of that is going to be, you know, driven by one quote I love, which I will share Sunday, is as we express our gratitude, we must never forget the highest appreciation is not the utter words, but to live by them. Mm. Right. That's John F. Kennedy. And so I love that quote because to me, it's this idea that is, you know, it's like the words matter. And that's what we said last week. But if it's only words and your actions don't build around that. Don't amplify it. Then they're just words. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know. So we kind of we're building blocks, obviously, but the intentional idea of our behavior, and it's the same thing as anything else, dude. Especially when it comes to our Christian life, man. I mean, you know, I think God is so less impressed with what we think than it is what we do, and yet He is not consumed by what we do. Like, you know, what we do does not create a behavior. Yeah. When I'm a behavior-oriented God with gold stars, when you do more than somebody else, right? But the reality is that we've even taken it even further and said, well, I just had good thoughts today.
Yeah.
I had a good thought that moment. I mean, I read the Bible and read that I was supposed to love my neighbor as much as myself, and I thought about it for 5 minutes. And I think God's going, that's awesome. That's great. What'd you do?
Yeah.
What did you do with that? Like, what you know, this idea of expressing gratitude is supposed to be doing what you've learned. Mm. I mean, James says, you know, don't just be hearers, right? Yeah. Be doers of the word. Don't allow what is said here to go undone, and that's really where I just come back to all the time is our behavior is tricky because, you know, you get into churches and it can be very rule based and behavior. You know, again, we have a gold star God, and you know, people have friends that grew up that way. So I try to be careful, but yeah. Man, it matters what we do. Like, you know, applying what we know is the key to having learned it.
Yeah.
And expressing gratitude in our behavior is the key to just kind of amplifying what we probably have already said, because, you know, gratitude's never silent. Well, it's never invisible either.
Right.
So gratitude is not only never silent, but it's never invisible. Mm. And I think that's where we're going to focus our time, because, man, if I had one prayer as we go into the Christmas and holiday season, yeah. If I had one prayer, I would pray that everybody, you know, would fight the stuff. They'd fight their commercialism. They'd fight their consumerism. They would fight the going crazy financially. They would live in the capacity that they're, you know, that they're actually in. Don't push that limit all month long and raise it by debt. I mean, I would pray that. But my biggest thing would be that the family that you have, the friends that you are surrounded with, would not only hear it but see it in your life. That you would be a person expressing gratitude because it's in you, not because it's a should be or ought to be, but it's there. That you are genuinely a thankful person. You are genuinely a grateful child of God. You know, and obviously, like you said, it's what should be there. Like you said, even focused on the birth of Christ and the hope that is coming, man, it should be there every time. And yet, you know, because our heart sways, because the battle's there, you know, sometimes it comes and we miss it because we're too busy, you know, wanting it now and deserving more in our own hearts. So that would be my prayers, that people would not only hear it, but say it and show it in this Christmas season. And that would be what we would be known for as Christians. Yeah.
Last thought. What brings you back to that place when you are straying? What one thing, if there is just one thing.
I'm going to ask you that too. Yeah.
Yeah, what's one thing that kind of just centers you back as we kind of wind down here?
Yeah. That's a good thing to close on, Zach. All right. For me, you know, I'm a music person. Mm. So I kind of, I live the love hate thing with Christmas music because I don't like the fact that it starts in October. But you know, when it really gets into December and there's so many amazing, you know, songs about Christ and about what he brought and what he is, and, you know, I that usually centers me pretty well. Yeah. I mean, I have some times where I'm in the car for a little bit of time and I know sometimes I make phone calls and stuff, but I sometimes intentionally just listen and have a little moment, just a little experience of myself. Last year, I'll tell you one thing. Last year, I don't remember what Chris did, but it was Silent Night and Amazing Grace. Mm-hmm. Remember when he did that last year? Yeah. Holy cow. That song did it for me. That little mashup that he did was, it was a centering moment for me.
That was the gospel.
In a song. It was so good. So I would say for me, that's it. I need to make time for that.
Yeah.
I already know because of how I'm wired, music does it for me. I can be in the car crying and just, you know, having a moment with God and really get back to what's it all about.
Yeah.
What am I really thankful for? You know, so what about you?
Mine is usually rooted in an activity, whether that be reading or journaling, but specifically during the holidays, we have this cheesy, it truly is one of the cheesiest Advent calendar things. It's like it's like a little manger house.
Dude,
and you hang these poorly drawn characters. I mean, the baby Jesus looks like Will Ferrell. It is very cheesy.
Oh wow.
But for some reason when I go through that and just read those simple things with my children and just talk about the story, it truly does center me and bring it back to a point where it's just clear.
That's cool.
You know, and a heart of gratitude begins to say, this is what it's about, you know, in spite of everything else and the chaos and the busyness and the money and the whatever else is going on. It's all about this. You know, this is what it all comes down to. And as cheesy as it is, it always is a subtle and simple reminder of what it's all about.
That's a good challenge for the listener to find that one thing, right? What's the one thing that's going
to
bring you back to a heart of gratitude? What's that one thing that's going to keep you there? That's cool.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, we want to encourage you, if you've been listening, that's awesome. If you're not a listener, you're missing out. But there are plenty of ways to find us. You can subscribe to our podcast. You can go to thejourneyonline.com and find it there. Also, be sure to check us out on Facebook, and you can follow us on Twitter at Journey Online. But thanks again for joining us. Thanks, Matt, for just sharing your thoughts.
Guys.
Thanks to Daniel Schaefer for putting us all together here today. And we'll catch you next time.
Next month, we are going to tackle some Christmas issues.
We are.
Right? We're going to tackle the big stuff, man. Yeah,
and if you're not on the blog, it's
blog.thejourneyonline.com.
Yep. Go there. There's going to be some really good stuff dropping over the next few weeks. All Christmas-related, holiday-related. We're going to try and keep these conversations going through the blog, through social media. Every avenue we have available, we're going to try and just keep the conversation going to truly, you know, hopefully humbly point everyone to absolute hope as we engage everyone this holiday season. Well, thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time.